May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be: Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Hymn 399.
Let us turn firstly to read in the book of the Psalms. We'll read Psalm 121 and 123. We'll then turn to the Gospel according to St. Matthew and read chapter 11. Firstly, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 121, a song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore. Psalm 123, a song of degrees. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. We'll turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May the Lord bless the readings from his word. May he help us now to pray. O thou gracious, most holy and almighty God, enable us now to bow before thy majesty at the throne of grace. Oh, may we know that love of the holy heavenly Father to draw us unto Christ, or that we might come through that one and only way, that mediation, that name, and the sin atoning blood of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we do desire to be drawn unto thee now, and we do pray to be drawn away from the busy scenes of life. Oh, we pray that we may spend an hour in thy presence and feel thee near. Oh, that we may be those who favour to entertain thee, even in our own hearts. Oh, do come, Lord Jesus, Indeed, we have the promise concerning our gathering, where two or three shall gather together in thy name. There will I be in the midst, and truly without thee we can do nothing. Nothing spiritual, nothing truly saving, lasting. Oh, but do come, Lord Jesus, thou hast the words of everlasting life. And we pray those come into our own souls. Oh, let our beloved come. May we hear his voice and indeed speaking unto us. I'm coming to my God and my sister, my spouse. Oh, we do pray, come, Lord Jesus. And we pray that we may here this evening receive some profit from thy word. We do pray, gathering, Lord, may not be in vain, but may it be to the edification of our souls. And see, as we pass on through this short life, we head on to that vast eternity. Oh, may we have the sweet knowledge of the prayer of our hymn, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Oh, we pray, Lord, for that real knowledge of thyself this side of the grave. Oh, as thou hast said to thy holy Father, Lord Jesus, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Oh, may we know thee then, O Lord, and know thee with the eye of faith. May we believe on thee from the heart, or that we may receive from thee salvation. And Lord, how we have to come to thee even this evening, thou knowest, on mercy's ground. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We can't make ourselves better. Thou knowest the ruined natures that we possess. Thou seest, Lord, what we are in the Adam fall. Oh, we're crooked. We're undone, we're vile, we're sinful, we're prone to every sin, every evil. And truly, as the hymn writer says, here my soul convicted stands, for breaking all thy ten commands. On me, justly thou mightest pour thy wrath in one eternal shower. Oh, but may we know, Lord, indeed the blessings of Christ, and that our iniquities were laid upon him. When he fulfilled the law in sweet obedience and paid its curse. We pray, Lord, that thou hast revealed these things to us personally. Oh, that we may, Lord, know our sins forgiven and our iniquities are pardoned. So have mercy upon us. We thank thee for a throne of grace. We thank thee there is forgiveness with thee. Thou mayest be feared. Thou art a God of mercy. Oh, we do, Lord, pray. May we taste this, may we know this, experience this. May we hear thy voice, son, daughter, thy sins are forgiven thee. We do pray thou make those spiritual mercies known then to those gathered here this evening. Bless souls with all those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. May we, Lord, find thee as our Saviour and our Redeemer. Oh, do not pass us by and give us that desire, Lord, that we may know thee as such. Oh, give us those desires for those spiritual blessings, that hunger and thirst, and that we may, Lord, find thee. And as we come to thy house through the preaching of the gospel, oh, that our souls be fed and watered, and that we may be blessed. Lord, we pray, thou meet with thy dear people. May they not be sent empty away. Thou who art that same Saviour as walked on this earth, who had compassion on the multitudes, and now, oh, full of compassion, a great high priest who is touched, truly touched with the filling of our infirmities. Oh, we pray, Lord Jesus, then may we know thee in thy compassions which fail not even this evening. Well, we pray us look upon each case, Lord. There's the things in our lives, the circumstances and the trials, the troubles of this lower world, and the path thy people walk. And thou seest the pilgrimage, spiritual. O Lord, the temptations, the snares, the sins which easily beset us, the trial of faith. Thou knowest these things. And our down-sittings, our uprisings are known to thee. Oh, we do then pray that thou wilt give us real help from the sanctuary. And we, Lord, do pray that thou wilt feed thy people through thy word. How thankful we should be for thy precious truth before us, this precious treasure of thy word. And we do pray that thou wilt breathe it into our hearts. Lord, we pray this evening. Lord, without thy living breath, or the Holy Ghost, thou knowest our hearts remain as cold as clay and as hard as stones. And we, Lord, we have to mourn these things. Oh, what a nature we have. And Berridge said, how his heart by nature was a stone. Oh, we do, Lord, pray that thou hast moved these hearts of ours. Oh, that we may, Lord, as we hear the word, read the word, oh, that we may truly be given that grace to receive it. Oh, open our hearts. Thou hast the key of knowledge, the key of David. Open our hearts, like thou didst to Lydia of old. So she received and she attended unto those things which were spoken. We do then pray that thou be gracious and merciful to this people. Bless them collectively, together we pray thee. Grant in this place thy peace and thy presence. Grant that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Grant that Christ may reign and Christ may have the preeminence in their midst. Grant, Lord, that help in church and congregation. Grant thy blessing on the preaching of the gospel here, and do send forth thy word in power. And Lord, we pray for all in trouble, and we remember especially those in sickness and trials at this time, bearing especially before thee one of the dear deacons and his dear one in their affliction. O Lord, O do thou support them and help them and be with them and bless them and draw near to them. And Lord, may thy presence fill their house, we do pray. Thou wilt, Lord, abide with them. Lord, may that prayer be heard. May it be that thou dost go in to tarry with them. So we do ask that thou hast mercy. And Lord, oh, we do pray thou hast undertaken everything. And Lord, we pray for elderly friends and those with feeling the weakness and weariness of their bodies now. Help them, Lord, others in affliction. And each in their circumstances, families, children, and those in schooling, remember them, Lord. Each in their work, daily callings, do provide. And please to be with us, whatever thou dost call us to in this world. Oh, help us. Give us that daily grace we need. Enable us to walk with Christ in view. And may it be that we have thy fear before our eyes. Oh Lord, we need much help. Do deliver us from ourselves and sin and Satan's snares. We ask for thy grace and upon us. And we, Lord, as we plead for this people, may we pray that thou hast remembered the causes round about. and up and down our land and our own cause also. Shine upon us. O Lord, do bless thy word, we pray. Bless the everlasting gospel, that which is able to save our souls. And hear prayer that thou wilt yet raise up labourers into thy harvest. Grant pastors according to thy heart. May there be that realisation how these things are thy gift. And that, Lord, thou art to be entreated and thanked where it is so. O Lord, do hear prayer for these things. And we do thank thee, the Lord of the harvest, for all that thou dost do. And indeed, where there is those signs following the preaching of the gospel, we would be truly thankful. We pray that thou wilt let thy kingdom come, and we thank thee hast not left the earth, hast not left our land, hast not forsaken us. And we do then pray, Lord, that we may see more of thy work appearing. Indeed, thou art worthy of all our praises. Thou art that merciful and gracious God. Thou, O Lord, art good. And we trace this daily. Lord, when we have the eyes of understanding to see it. And thou, Lord, dost reveal thy goodness in temporal things as well as spiritual. Indeed, we would thank thee for thy mercies to our nation, and that thou hast enabled us to come as far as we have with the recovery from this pandemic. We would not presume on anything, but we thank thee for thy goodness towards us, because, O Lord, we hear, we read, we see the effect on other countries and the sorrow, the suffering, the death in those places. And we would lift up our prayers for them and pray that thou have mercy upon them. And, O Lord, may these things be a voice to us each, and a realization of our mortality and how feeble and fickle we are. O Lord, we pray that also in those places thy gospel may have free course, and, O Lord, may many be turned to thee. And we do then pray for thy people everywhere suffering. Lord, help. Lord, be with them. We come before thee then this evening, and all our vast need for thy help. We do pray thy blessing upon us, thy blessing upon the hymns given out from the reading of thy word and the preaching of the gospel. Lord, help us, be with us. We do pray thou guide us in our speaking and help us in our hearing, that it might be to our profit and it might be, above all, to thy glory. O Lord Jesus, we ask for thy name's sake. Amen.
Our next hymn is 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. Hymn 247.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant us his gracious help this evening, the word upon my mind is found in Psalm 123. It is the first two verses in particular. Psalm 123 and the first two verses in particular. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. The psalmist expresses that language of precious faith, though burdened and weighed down. Oh, how, dear friends, we have in this word such a direction for us. For though we be weighed down many things, many cares, many sins, there is a refuge, there is a place to look, there is a blessed mercy seat, there is a throne of grace. He says unto thee, lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Oh, friends, if the Lord enable us, then may we be able to consider this looking. And indeed, as we have in the second verse, you see the looking to the Lord's hand. Because the eyes in our text are the eyes of precious faith. And dear friends, it's looking to one only. It's looking to the God of heaven. Or he who has heaven and earth at his command and waits to answer prayer. You see, that is why we also read that Psalm 121. Because we have there, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. See, speaking of that one who is far above our cares, far above our little lives, one whose eternal thought moves on, and who has eternal thoughts of peace towards his people, who says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, for to give you an expected end. It's unto him that dwells in the heavens. Now, we would come on to speak of these servants and these maidens. He says, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Now, I believe it's right to say, especially in times past, servants and maidens were utterly dependent upon their masters and mistresses for their living, that they might be maintained for their protection. And it really, it speaks of the dependence of God's people upon him for everything. But you know, dear friends, only grace can put us in this condition, this attitude of dependence. You know, to our shame, we, everyone naturally turn to our own way. And the natural inclination of our hearts is to run away from God. But grace enables a soul to wait upon Him. My dear friends, this waiting upon Him, it can only be done by divine grace, divine help. My soul wait thou only upon God. Only by precious faith to realise who He is, His kindness, His mercy, His faithfulness. And to really wait upon God then, from whence all our help must come. Now this, friends, there is a place to go with your cares. And we must speak of the hand in our text, because it's the hand of a gracious God. You know, your times are in His hands. Your very souls are in His hands. Your life is in His hands. All the saints are in His hands. And such is the covenant of grace, dear friends, that you can never fall out of the gracious, saving hand of God. And whether you feel it or not, it is a blessed fundamental truth. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: He knoweth them that are His. And there's no such thing as falling out of grace. Once in Christ, in Him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. But a mercy it is when from time to time we feel that truth and experience what it is. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Friends, to look to the hands of the Lord is to really see His gracious support. Oh, His faithfulness. He holds nature in His hands. He holds time in His hands. And yours, you see, and your life is in His hands. But oh, it's a wonderful thing, I say, to experience this and to enter into the truth of this, to lie submissive in His hands and know no will but His. Friends, only grace can make us to be in that position. Oh, to really wait upon Him, believing in humble confidence that He is in control. Everything is in His hands. And there is a trust, you see, then in the Master's hand. Oh, that hand that orders your life. That hand that has ordered all things according to an everlasting covenant to order your pathway. And to really trust in Him, to commit your way unto the Lord and trust also in Him, that He might bring it to pass, because it's a gracious hand. And the government is upon His shoulder. Oh, that hand directs us, directs our paths. Dear friends, that gracious hand will surely provide all our needs. He opens His hands, we read in the Psalms, and satisfies the desire of every living thing. And again, oh, the provision of a gracious God. How can you observe the loving kindness of God? My friends, in the way He's provided your need. The ravens cry. The young lions lack. But yes, they receive their meat from God. How much more His people? Oh, the Lord Jesus said, lacked ye anything to His disciples? And He told His fearful ones, His anxious disciples, that they were of more value than many sparrows. And He told them that all these things that they had need of would be added unto them as they sought the kingdom of heaven, as they sought his name and an interest in his kingdom. My friends, that hand will provide all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And yes, even in this world, you see, we're speaking of natural strength and natural direction. The psalmist said, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. Has the Lord ever laid his hand on you, as it were, in an afflicting way? Still the same gracious hand? Or in a chastening way? Well, the psalmist knew it. He weakened my strength in the way, he said. Just like Paul had a thorn in his flesh. It's something very painful to carry along with him. It's very difficult. It's a mysterious thing, isn't it? It seems to be that with the people of God, as soon as they start to prosper, oh, there's a difficulty. There's a thorn. And this is where we must learn Christ. Learn of him. This is the school of Christ. We do not learn as schoolboys learn their tasks. Because, dear friends, the way is to be walking with him. That's how we learn of him. We walk with him. Christ says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, it's only as we walk with him, as we suffer with him, as we're humble with him in this lower world. But I say, the psalmist said, he weakened my strength in the way. Oh, the Lord touched me. The Lord smote me here. He weakened my strength. And what is the effect of these things? If it's a right effect, to run to the Lord to help you. Lord, help me. In order to strengthen you, or to strengthen you inwardly amid your many fears and unbelief, strengthen you with all might by his Spirit in the inner man. Yes, and give you daily help in your path. This is the way the Lord often works, and when he blesses a soul, truly blesses a soul with eternal life. Friends, he adds unto them something to keep them in that way of life. And my mind goes to Jacob when the Lord blessed him. He wrestled with the angel, and we read, yes, he said, I would not let thee go except thou bless me. And the Lord blessed him there. Yet the Lord touched him. The Lord smote his thigh. And we read of Jacob how he halted upon his thigh. My dear friends, it's a description, isn't it, of, you know, how the Lord would have his people lean upon him. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? And there's a blessing in the affliction, as far as it brings you to Christ. There's a humbling in it, because the old proud flesh has to be brought down. And that self, which is with us, crucified, but the favour is this, if it brings you to Christ. And so in our text there is a humble dependence, you see, upon the Lord Jesus. Look into his hand to provide all your need. And if the Lord weakens your strength in some way, dear friends, if he's brought you low in some way, it must be that he'd have you to carry it to the throne of his grace and watch his hand. Watch his hand. Really, the right way of dealing with afflictions and troubles, anything that fills your heart with sorrow, whether it's spiritual or natural, is to take it to the throne of grace. Hear the call of God. Hear him say to you, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dear friends, he calls you, you see, to that heavenly rest, which is really found in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. We which have believed to enter into rest. We find rest for our souls. Oh, hear the Saviour. Friends, as we read in Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you sin-sick souls, you who are bankrupt, and I really mean it, you have come to the end of your own righteousnesses, and you know yourself vile and empty. Oh, you feel the emptiness. You feel how you lack everything good. You feel the distance in your soul and God, the darkness of your mind. And you labour and you groan under that condition. You ask for mercy. Oh, friends, hear the Saviour's voice. He says, come unto me. How willing he is to receive you. So full of grace and truth. So willing to do everything you have need of to undertake for you. He says, come unto me. Friends, he would not have us, you see, to struggle on by ourselves. He says, come. And he says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, come. And I will give you rest. Now you see, as it is in the picture of our text, there is a rest. There is rest, isn't there, when there is trust. You see how anxious we might be. Yet when we utterly depend upon God, friends, when we cannot trust, oh, how we fret. We cannot see the unknown, the future. We do not know how we'll get through. But it's a wonderful thing if we can rest in the Lord, rest in his wisdom and in his strength and in his righteousness. And in this trust, you see, there is rest. And here we will find peace. Thou keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, whose eye is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. See this then, this word, dear friends, for all our need. All you have need of, his hand must provide. Because Jesus has undertaken to do everything for his church, by the way and to the end. It is undertaken to do everything as the surety of his church. He stands in their place. He has stood in their place at Calvary. And he stands now in heaven as surety still. Ever living to make intercession for us. So by way of prayer, may we see this. As the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and the eye of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until they have mercy upon us. Yes, we, as it were, lift up our hands in prayer. But you see, our trust is not in our prayers. So the intercession of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is in the heavens. It must be so. You won't get answers because you've prayed so much. And at such and such a time. My friends, that is trusting in ourselves. But the Lord hears the prayer of faith. Unto thee that hears the prayer of faith shall all flesh come. You see, we read in the Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. You see, this faith, it eyes the Saviour. Dear friends, it's not so much what we pray and how our prayers are. They're poor. We stutter, we stumble along at times, and broken prayers they are. But you see, the Lord, he honours the eye of faith. All those that came to Christ, that is what they possess. The Lord gave it to them. He is the author of faith. They knew he was the Christ. They came with their need. We think of the Syrophoenician woman. You see, we read of Jesus. He entered into a house and he would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. And why was that? Because there was a woman there who knew him. And she believed on him and she came, that Syrophoenician. Oh, how she had a hard case. Yet she brought her to Christ. And she would not be turned away. Oh, she waited upon his every word. And in the end it was this. Thy faith has saved thee. Now, dear friends, they are the Lord's people, then it eyes the Saviour, his hands, his intercession, you see. And, consider, dear friends, the hands of the Redeemer. Do you need to make sacrifice? Indeed, is your prayer? Is it a legal sacrifice? Do you come to prayer like Cain came? He brought of his own works and what he had done. Dear friends, there's no sacrifice needed now. Consider the hands of Christ. Once in the end of the world, he's made one sacrifice for sin forever, and that he presents in heaven. And that is a sacrifice to plead. And that name to plead, the exalted name. Oh, one name under heaven given among men, only one, whereby we must be saved. And the dear Lord Jesus, he spreads those wounded hands. He pleads for his people in glory. There's a psalm that speaks of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus. I believe it is Psalm 24. And the psalmist says this: who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Well, of course, the Lord's dear people. Yes, as they can only go to glory as they're washed in the precious blood of Christ. In the holy place of heaven above, God's immediate presence, I believe this is speaking of. But there is a question in this. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands. Now really, according to nature, that's none of us. But friends, the point is this, that Christ has ascended. And Christ now stands in the holy place of heaven above. And he may plead. And he may be accepted because he has clean hands and a pure heart. Oh, a holy life and a holy offering. The Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now that is the hand to which we as poor maidens and servants must look. It's the hand of the Master. And as we offer our prayers through this intercession, so we must expect the answers also in the same way. For this is the office of his mediation. He who is both God and man. Friends, he is able to receive the sinner and to send down all the blessings of the Father. Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, through Christ. Through that channel, through that river of mercy, Christ. No other channel, no other way. No man knoweth the Father, no man cometh to the Father, says Christ, but by me. Therefore we must expect, friends, the favours of God to flow through that one channel of mercy. The one channel of mercy, and the psalmist was on the grounds of mercy here, wasn't he? Pleading what Christ has done. He didn't expect the favour of God any other way. But until he have mercy upon us. Now mercy is what we need. Mercy is what we do need continually in every aspect of our lives. Because we are sinners, God can only deal with us in such a way. And what a mercy. Oh, friends, that there is such a thing. What a favour there is such a thing. Though he be a God of justice, he's a God of mercy. All the psalmist said, there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared. Yes, Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him there is plenteous redemption. God is a God of mercy, then. So this speaks concerning these servants and maidens, it speaks of a people unworthy. You deserve nothing from God. Very easy to say this, but a very different thing to really enter into that truth and feel it to be so. That you don't deserve anything from God. How that should put a stop to our murmurings. You see, Israel murmured so much in the wilderness, when really they had so much to be thankful for. Oh, how their murmurings stopped up their praises too often. And to consider then, in the same spirit as Job, that we brought nothing into this world. We came naked. Naked must we return. And what have we then that we have not received? And the same applies spiritually. What have we that we have not received? As we come to spiritual things, friends, a little help from the Lord, a little help in prayer, one look from the Lord, one believing view of his word. Oh, that enables you to hope. And these small things, we should not disregard these things. A man can have nothing except to be given him from above. And every good gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Those small helps, those lifts, my friends, it's the Lord's grace. So we must be truly thankful. And oh, what mercy the Lord shows to us day by day. Oh, that we may observe in this the loving kindness of the Lord. But then there is a waiting for his mercy. Sometimes the Lord keeps us waiting for answers. Certain things in our lives, matters not cleared up, clouds that hang over us. And of course, in our very soul, it may be, yes, you're brought into a low place, or the hiding of the Saviour's face. But then, dear friends, it's to still wait on, isn't it? As the Lord helps us. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Oh, we have to, in this path, wait for his salvation. We have to prove, as Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. And so the Lord enable us to wait in this way. And with that expectation, as I believe it is set before us in this text, the expectation of his goodwill. The angels proclaimed it, and it's a truth to be received, goodwill towards men. The Lord is of goodwill. He is good. The Lord is good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon him. So to expect mercy, expecting mercy from the Lord. And those answers to our petitions for his name's sake. Not because of your prayers, not because of this and that, but for his name's sake, because he has said so. And he has said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And we may expect then, on the grounds of his faithfulness and kindness, he says concerning earthly fathers, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things, or the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him. So a good and gracious God. And the need then to wait upon him in that way. And as regards this waiting, that grace to wait upon him all the day long. Now this leads us on to this truth. My friends, it says we must wait upon him for everything, spiritual and temporal, everything from heaven, every good thing. There is a sense in this word of being in attendance upon him. Just as a servant would and a maiden would to their master or mistress. Now in this we come very far short. And how often, yes, there is reproof in this. I say the psalmist said, on thee do I wait all the day long. My friends, we fall very far short of this. If you know your heart, as friends, the Lord shows you, then if it's like mine, it's very often we're after this and we're after that. And this will that we have is not always conform to God's. We have an old nature. But you see, this is the blessed frame to be found in. On thee do I wait all the day long. And really, it describes also this, the path of service. And again, I mention that which we read in Matthew's Gospel when Christ says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. If we're called into the kingdom of heaven, we're called to follow Christ. And though we be sons by adoption, not slaves, yet servants, as they that do the will of the Master. Now, friends, we cannot speak of perfection on earth. We're sinners and we need mercy. But I feel there is something in this text that speaks of the blessedness of that path. That my soul wait though only upon God. That way of walking with Christ, take my yoke upon you. You see, how can two walk together except they be agreed? It's grace that does it. It's grace that makes us conformable to his will. It's grace that helps us to walk in the path he appoints. The apostle said, being conformable to his death. Yes, a dying to ourselves. But you see, in this path is a blessed path. And it's the path of faith. We read of Enoch and we read of Noah who walked with God. How Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And that is where the text we quoted earlier was that which follows this. He said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You see, Enoch only had that testimony he pleased God, or walked with God, by faith. Yes, as a servant to the hand of his master, as a maiden to her mistress. There's no other way that pleases him. All our best service, friends, everything that we think is right and all that we might do can never please God. But the way that is pleasing to him is outlined here. It's the way of faith. As the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. And so this speaks of that blessed way of the Lord's dear people through this world. But let us speak a little more concerning this mercy. It's unto him who dwells in the heavens. Dear friends, he pitieth those that fear him, that hope in his mercy. You see, the psalmist, and we will just touch on it, he applies to God concerning the contempt of the and scorning of the proud and those that are at ease. You see, he was afflicted by this. Maybe some of you have a strong enemy. It's much stronger than you. Indeed, we have an archenemy, Satan. But there is the truth, isn't there, that there's the Ishmaels that mock. Set forth in the scriptures of those who, well, may have an outward form of godliness, yet they don't know the trials and the troubles of the Lord's people. You see, Ishmael was a son of Abraham, but he wasn't a child of promise. There was a difference. He mocked. Yes, and the world are ready to mock, aren't they? The fools of God's people. The sins of God's people, the difficulties of God's people, the trials of God's people. Aha, they say, so would we have it. My dear friends, you see, the Lord's people are the apple of his eye. And we have to flee to the Saviour. I flee unto thee to hide me. Oh, the psalmist speaks of that pavilion the Lord had prepared for him. And you see, the Lord takes pity upon those that fear him, those that hope in his mercy. And this really speaks of where we must look for all our defence and our protection. It speaks of that one who must fight our battles for us. You see, it's under the hand of our master. The government's upon his shoulders. Peter was told to put up his sword into his sheath. And what a word the Lord spoke through Moses to his ancient people. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So this is a word, isn't it, for those who need protection and the Lord to deliver them from evil, from their enemies. It's until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. So the Lord's dear Zion, the Lord's dear people collective, what are they? They're an afflicted and poor people, yet they trust in the Lord. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave. But it's to take it to the Lord in prayer and wait upon him. Oh, not seeking to sort it out ourselves, but to wait, my soul, wait thou only upon him. Oh, how much wisdom we need. And so often it's this, isn't it? Take it to the Lord. But friends, because all his saints are in his hands. And so this is the right way for the church of God. Is to look to the hand of the Lord until he have mercy upon us. And then he'll have all the praise. A God of mercy. And how we need him then to take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Hear our prayers. Send down those answers. But there is an until. And the Lord's people are sometimes placed in the fires and they need to be brought, dear friends, to have this and that purged out, and there is an until. And this also, the Lord's time is perfect. as for the Lord, his way is perfect. Well then, also this word until, it speaks of this, there is an end. Therefore, hope thou in God. Thou shalt yet praise him. And dear friends, there is an afterwards. All our sorrows, all our trials, the Lord can turn them, turn sorrow into joy and put a new song in our heart, even praise unto God. He can turn our captivities. So the Lord help us to continue in prayer. The Lord help us to wait upon him and look to him. Really, this is an attitude of soul. It's an exercise of heart. Dear friends, it's not just going to the closet to pray. It's, you see, as we sit in the psalms, my soul, wait thou only upon God, and all the day long. It's, you see, the outward glancing of an eye. It's a Lord help me. And in this path there is blessings and helps. Well, this is the place to be looking then. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. The Lord enable you to lift up your eyes. You know, we also read in that Matthew concerning John the Baptist, as his eyes were cast down. Oh, art thou he that should come, he said, or do we look for another? Do we look for another? You know, we can come into a state of unbelief, can't we? Start looking for another. But this is the way. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting on Friday evening at 7 o'clock for our friends in the Baker family. Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach on next Lord's Day, morning and evening. And Mr. Adrian Pickett at our anniversary services on Monday. Let us close with hymn 770. The God that rules on high and thunders when he please, that rides upon the stormy sky and manages the seas. This awful God is ours, our Father and our love. He shall send down his heavenly powers to carry us above. Hymn 770.
Thank you.
O Lord, do pardon all that has been amiss. Do bless thy own word, those hymns we have read. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.